He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Well, they should do, like, saw it with Scotty and with Jay, where they didn't get really opportunities with the parent team. Then they walk after they developed with the G League and in that system. A coach, by the way, they fired over the summer, you know, late into the summer after he conducted summer league. So it was like, I don't know. I'm like I said, I've always been pulling for Jalen. Even when it didn't look like he was going to be very good, I still have serious questions about this guy's game. The shot, like he shot some free throws tonight. They both went in. But I was like, your shot didn't always look like that. Like, why are you using more left hand at this stage of your career than when you entered the league on your shot? But at the end of the day, you know, he got in there and contributed to a win that, again, like, you know, we joked about it earlier. We'd be having a very, very different conversation right now. And the tone of this show would be very, very different had they not won this game. And they don't win this game without Jalen Huchefino. I did not have that, me saying that, on my bingo card this year at all. But it's true. They don't win that game in Utah against a tanking, a crazy tanking Utah Jazz team without Jalen Huchefino. So, you know. Do you want to go run a lap really quick and then pop back in here in a second?
I'm all right. I put the shoes on. I think that's good for now. Stretched a little bit, but the lap can wait. The bar needs to be a little higher. You know, he did play really well, but, you know, I think this just want to raise the bar a little bit. But I'm happy for him. And he's been hurt, actually, so hasn't even played really in any games in a while. So that thought that was impressive to go out and play as well as he did.
All right. Last thing here on the docket, the New Orleans Pelicans are having the season from hell. We have six starred comments, so I promise I'm going to get to those too. But the New Orleans Pelicans are having the season from hell. They're basically having last year's Memphis Grizzlies season at the beginning of this thing.
Yeah.
And now on top of it all, you have Zion Williamson, who changed his agency midseason, I believe. And now, to make things even trickier, you have Brandon Ingram changing his agency before he becomes a free agent, and he changes that agency to Clutch, which obviously is always going to get the attention around the league and specifically here with Lakers fans. That launched a ton of debate throughout the day today about Brandon Ingram, the trade target and the fit and all that stuff. So, Raj, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so Brandon Ingram, obviously former Laker, a guy that, you know, I just really enjoyed and have enjoyed his growth. I'm not, like, again, I think he's turned into an obviously a star, and it's fascinating with the agencies that have come now. And I'm sure David Griffin loves that, you know, he has two Clutch clients now, and DeJounte Murray and Brandon Ingram, and then also Zion switching his agency and feels very public about wanting, you know, a place in New York. But I don't know how the trade would actually work. I think Brandon Ingram's value on the ring around the league is so fascinating. It's very polarizing. It's not exactly DeMar DeRozan-ish, but it's in that vein of, like, what is he kind of? Is he, you know, good, bad player? I mean, good, bad player on, like, a team that's, you know, he's able to put stats on, or is he, like, a good player in a really terrible environment? And I think it's more of the latter, but I think if there's a player that you can go get, Anthony, and I'm not proponing like that as an actual trade yet, but I think, like, there's not a player you can go grab that has more talent than Brandon Ingram that at the cost it would probably be. But I don't think New Orleans wants to send us Brandon Ingram, like, after everything that's happened, and Dalton Connect already that's been sent over, to also fork over Brandon Ingram, I think would be very, very tough. Like I'm seeing a lot of trades that you just mentioned it all over, you know, the timeline. I just, that factor, that human element factor of, you know, Palinka call in and go, hey, buddy, like, you want let's do this all over again, you know? And I just, so I can't see it.
What I've heard, I don't think David Griffin cares all that much.
Okay.
Ownership, I think, is a little different there.
Public perception is
New Orleans. Like, I think the Benson family and Gail Benson would have some thoughts about it. You obviously mentioned the New Orleans market, how they would feel about it too. It would have to be a trade that, you know, they could sell as making them better, which, like, the Lakers don't have the pieces to make that kind of a deal, you know.
You're not, like, getting Austin and Dalton, right? Like you're not getting either of those two players. Austin and Dalton, in my opinion, are getting moved for Brandon Ingram. So, like, I don't know what player you can't. I don't know how you sell Rui Hachimura to your base, or, you know, I don't know how you do that. And you just traded for DeJounte Murray. You just made an in-move.
It's pretty all in, because they sent over that unprotected Lakers pick that, right, you know, New Orleans fans, I would imagine, were pretty thrilled that they had that to hold over the Lakers potentially. Mm-hmm. Especially after, you know, they passed on the pick that would have been Dalton Kanek, or could have been Dalton Kanek for him. So,
right.
I'm with you for the most part. Like, I don't think that New Orleans, like, the Lakers would probably have to overpay to convince New Orleans to send them Brandon Ingram. Like, I don't think New Orleans is of the mindset where it's like, we will absolutely not deal with the Lakers. I don't think it's there, but I do think it would probably cost the Lakers more than other teams. You know, probably it stings that my buddy Ross, who covers the Saints for the Locked On Network down there, he has a bit where, like, every time somebody thinks their city upon their departure, he'll say that, like, so-and-so thanked this, you know, city X before Anthony Davis acknowledged the city of New Orleans, right? So there are still hurt feelings down there over how all that went down. Yeah. It probably stings all the more that AD went and won a championship immediately after getting traded to the Lakers. And then, you know, you look at the fallout there, you know, yeah, they got Zion Williamson kind of sort of out of the deal by tanking the way that they did. But they don't have a ton to show for the Zion era. And now he's trying to force his way to New York. So had they had more success, I think they would be more open to these kinds of conversations. They just haven't had that success. And, you know, like, you could say, yeah, maybe D'Lo and Rui fit better than, you know, Ingram does currently with our group. Maybe they want a little bit more offensive punch there. But, like, why trade for D'Lo when they just traded for DeJounte Murray?
Yeah.
Who plays the same position. It's not the best fit there trade wise. What do you think about the basketball fit there for the Lakers though too? Cause I think.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
There are some questions there.
There are, really quick. I don't know if you're watching. I have no reason to be watching Pelicans Knicks when they're down 30, but, you know, I was just watching the game, and Mike Breen was mentioning the games played that Zion has played. He was going through it, and he's like, well, Zion played 70 games last year, and Clyde, you know, who's very just transparent, just came out and was like, well, Mike, that was a contract year. And so I was like, wow. I don't even think it was. Someone had checked and told me it wasn't a contract year, but I think a lot of the incentives were put in for the first year of that yeah. deal. But in any case, yeah, I thought that was the first time I've heard someone like, you know, publicly kind of bring that up. But no, the basketball fit is interesting. I think it's a talent add, right? Is what it is. It's just, there's no player you can go grab that's going to be more like Zach LaVine's a name, but I don't think, again, I think his cost would probably, with how he's played so far, and the contract is just, I think Ingram kind of fits most of those boxes. The question is like, can he get back to the defender he was as a Laker? Cause that he was a very solid wing defender before he left, and was really coming to his own on that end so much that we were throwing him on all the elite guys at that time, Giannis and all the other guys that he was defending when, you know, LeBron was here. And then he had that scary, I think, blood clot issue that kept him out. But yeah, I think, like, again, the starters I would expect would be like Austin, Dalton, B.I., AD, and LeBron. I think that takes a lot of the offensive pressure off LeBron. You get another guy that can get downhill. You get another just super shot creator. Like, he's a mismatch hunter that, you know, you put a small guy in Brandon Ingram, you throw him in the post, and that's just an offense of itself. And hopefully that lends to LeBron being, you know, more energy for the defensive end. I think it can work if those are the pieces you give. I doubt that gets it done, but I think I would do it. Like, I just don't know any other move that you can get. Like, DFS is a nice name to give in, but the talent grab of Brandon Ingram. But the major question, Anthony, I'll put this to you, is Brandon Ingram a max player in this new CBA? I don't. I think that's the, you know, that's where New Orleans and Brandon Ingram have come to a head. And Brandon Ingram's like, all right, I'm gonna bring Rich Paul on my side. Like, mm-hmm. all right, you don't want to offer him max? All right, fine. This is how we're going to go about it. But that's the question. Is Ingram a max player? I don't know. I think he's looking for $50 million a year, and that's, I don't know who's giving that to him.
He is not. And in this new CBA, the worst player that you can have on your books is somebody getting paid max money who is not a max player. You know,
yeah.
Not counting like obvious other examples, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, the injured player or whatever, mm-hmm. but, you know, when the money gets that high and it takes up that much of your cap and that player isn't like, you know, the tide that raises all boats kind of player, that's where these organizations really start to get themselves, you know, feel uncomfortable. And look, we just saw it with the Clippers. They just what? They let Paul George walk over concerns in that regard. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out here. Because, like, from what I've heard, a lot of teams are interested in Brandon Ingram, the player. Like, you know, those – it's not that, like, you know, the Pelicans put this guy's name on the trade block and nobody has called. They have had calls. They have had conversations. With teams for Ingram, mm-hmm. it's just that teams are reluctant to give up everything that they would normally give up in this kind of a situation because they'd have to turn around and pay the guy. Yep. And it's just, and like pay the guy, capital P, capital A, capital Y, like, you know, franchise altering money. And under the previous CBA, I think teams would have been fine with it. The Pelicans themselves would have been fine with it. Even though I don't think he and Zion fit well with each other. But, you know, from the Lakers' perspective, I'd have questions. Because even when Ingram was playing good defense, he and LeBron's fit was never all that great. Mm-hmm. He's never been very comfortable knocking down catch-and-shoot threes. He's always liked to take an extra dribble or few, and that's only gotten worse in the time that he's been in New Orleans.
Yeah,
and I think that makes it tough right off the bat. And like some of the things that we're seeing in Rui, now you have some of those same questions still, and it would be a $50 million player that you have those same questions about.
Yeah, it is, and the basketball fit was definitely clunky when he was here. I think Brandon's kind of ascension as a mid-range shooter, like while LeBron was here, made that, you know, a little rough. But I mean, if you look at it, just like when Ingram and Zion, and I think like CJ, when they were playing, that was a really good team. That was a team that was mm-hmm. winning. That was in the top of its conference. And I think, like, if you look at it now, Brandon Ingram is like the number one player that gets doubled, because if you look at the roster of the Pelicans, they play a lot of guys that, you know, are, you know, kind of on the fringe of being in the league, just out of necessity of their injuries. And they lead the league also in time missed, players missed games. And so, yeah, if you look, it's tough to kind of fully evaluate Ingram's game in that. But again, like a 25 or whatever point of game score he is, his improved his 3-point shot. He takes more off the bounce threes now. Still not, again, like you said, a comfortable catch and shoot guy. But again, it's just a talent grab, a guy I think that's still under 26, 27 years old. So you're kind of, you still get a huge part of his future. He has been injured, you know, recently on weird injuries. Like he had a toe injury for a long time, just very strange kind of injuries that he's had. But again, like just a talent grab of if you can get a guy like that, I think that's a move the Lakers kind of have to make. And this is kind of what happens when you don't make moves over the summer. You're kind of, you know, cornered into making these type of moves, which are, you know, sometimes high risk and high reward type of moves. It's tougher to make, like, you know, moves that, you know, that aren't, they aren't, you don't get to like think about over the summer. But I would go for it, I think. And maybe this is just me as a guy who, Brandon Ingram's a guy we drafted, so I'm a little more biased in terms of, you know, watching him. But yeah, I just can't get over Anthony D. The fact that, like, we just got AD from them 4 years ago. They've had one playoff appearance since then, right? And so I think it would be extremely tough for David Griffin to, like, hand over also Brandon Ingram. Lonzo Ball's on another team already. Josh Hart is playing well on another team already. Yeah. Like, all the pieces of the AD trade, whatever's left is really – I don't even know who's left on their team from the AD trade. I think that's it,
because Nance is in Atlanta now.
Right, Nance is gone. Lonzo's gone. Ingram's the last piece of that. That's kind of your shining, like, hey, we got an all-star out of it. And then, like, for him to wake
even
up.
Even Hayes, right? Even Hayes was technically part of that deal by way of, like, the trade. The pick that they used.
Yeah, I think that was the fourth pick that, again, got traded, strangely, to Atlanta again that year. It was weird. but yeah, like, hey, we got Ingram from, and for him to wake up in a Laker jersey, like, this season would be, that'd be tough for a GM to sell. But I'm not sure what's going to come of this. I just, it's a strange situation.
Yeah. I'll say this. I'm not all that interested right now. But if LeBron, if, like, we are starting to see, like, the real beginnings of his decline, then I think, you know, because it was rough watching him at the end of this game and at the end of the last one, where the Lakers, like, they can't get penetration from anybody out there. And I don't know if Ingram even necessarily helps all that much in that regard, because he plays kind of slow too. He's more of a mallet or a hammer than he is like a knife. And the Lakers need like a knife kind of player. LaVine, for example. But like if LeBron continues to slide here and AD keeps on playing the way that he has all year, I could see maybe that becoming more interesting here moving forward. But, you know, well, that's a lot of ifs. That's a whole bunch of ifs. And by the way, I don't think this kind of a deal would happen until right up against the trade deadline.
Yeah. I mean, do you think Ingram would wait that long? I wonder how this goes. I mean, if, like, he puts in a trade request now, or, you know, like, I'm curious. You don't switch agencies, Anthony, to stay in the same situation, right? Like, there's obviously something that he wants out of this in a timely manner. So,
but like, he's switching agents though more for the off season than it is for this season. He wants to be paid every dollar that he could be out of this next contract.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I don't think any team in the NBA wants to make him a max player. Sure. I think teams will begrudgingly do it. But I don't think any team is looking at Brandon Ingram and, like, you know, chomping at the bit to go out there and try to bring him in and pay him, you know, all of the money that he would be owed this upcoming offseason, because he's just not that level of a player. He doesn't impact winning enough to be paid $50 million a year.
So I will say, and again, the way you get this contract is you play really well in the playoffs on a good team, right? And the last time that the Pelicans were in the playoffs, obviously Zion was not a part of it, but they played the Suns, and I thought Brandon was awesome. I can't remember, Anthony, but I think that was the summer he got the new deal, the deal he's on now, which is, I think, close is the max, like the max rookie extension, whatever it was. But I believe it was following that playoff run where he played really well against the Suns, and almost, I think they almost beat the Suns, right, at that year, if I remember that correctly. I think it went like six games or something like that before the Suns prevailed. Devin Booker maybe missed a few games in that series, but I'm with you. He's not currently worth the $50 million tag that he wants, but I think to get that, you would have to move to a playoff team and show that you can be a one or a two, you know, offensively on those teams. And maybe the Lakers are a part of that. Maybe they're not. You know, the Warriors, I can see. I think the Warriors have probably called already, but, you know, I'm sure those talks will continue on Kuminga and all those young guys they got. But I'm interested to see what Brandon Ingram wants, I guess, out of this.
All right, let's go ahead and dive on into the super comments here, which means we get to play this bad boy. Fuck Washington! First super comment comes from Justin Tindall, who writes, I don't make the rules, but 10 points on 4-of-5 shooting is the Gabe Vincent game. Man, he's reaching Ennis levels of expectations.
Yeah. 10 points. Again, like, I think this is, if Gabe Vincent can give you 8 to 10 a night, I'm fine. Like, that's a solid contributor with what his defense is giving you. But I don't understand why he's like scared to shoot when he comes off the bench, but tonight he starts and, you know, the ball goes to him and he looks confident, took through two threes, had a pump fake drive off the glass finish. Like, you can do that every night. Like, you're going to be open every night. Teams are giving you, you know, the Westbrook type treatment, like where they just don't guard him. OKC, just their game plan, they just did not guard him for a lot of those possessions. So hopefully this is a sign of things to come for Gabe. It's nice to see him get loose a little bit on the floor.
Rye Guy writes, Ingram is a literal layup for Rob and the Lakers. If he fumbles that, then don't know what to say. They could get away with one pick in salary and then make more moves. No, like, I don't think you're getting Ingram for anything less than 2 first-round picks.
Ooh,
and
okay.
Those picks are not going to have very much protection on them.
Ooh,
to get back to like the we were talking about earlier, the Lakers are going to have to overpay for Ingram. You aren't gonna like, you know, benefit from a situation here, because any other team could match, you know, one pick in salary filler. Any other team, and if like the Lakers and the Warriors have the same exact offer, guess where Ingram is going? Mm-hmm. If the Lakers and the Heat have the same exact offer, guess where Ingram is going? So Lakers are going to have to pay for just at least a little bit more, to get their hands on Ingram.
Right. Yeah. Two first rounds, a lot for Ingram coming off his contract. But we'll see.
All right. Let's see. Marley Villasenor writes, I don't think we should jump the gun on BI. He's not a high motor defensive minded wing or a bruising center. He's a really good player, but not what we need, and he needs the ball in his hands. I think that's kind of where I sit, you know.
Sure.
Maybe not, like, if that's like a 10 out of 10 Heat kind of take, I'll probably scale back the Heat a little bit and say, like, I think there's a world where he helps, just like you're talking about, Raj, from a talent standpoint, especially if, like, in terms of players that you're giving up, if it's just, like, I've been trying to do this, and it's on. Like, here's the thing. As we get closer to the trade deadline, the first thing that the Lakers are going to have to do is move like Wood or Maxwell Lewis or one of their minimum, like, expiring type of players. Move them without getting any money back, just to give themselves more room. Because, like, you go to a trade machine and you try to put together a trade for Brandon Ingram, and it's like pretty tough, actually, because of how much he makes and because how much the Lakers would have to send out. It is not an easy, you know, it's I haven't found one.
I'll just comment on the, you know, Marley was saying he's done a high motor defensive minded wing, and that's very true. And that's a bet you're just going to have to make. The New Orleans made the same bet on DeJounte Murray, right? Murray lost a lot of that kind of defensive motor and energy, and they're betting then he was bad again tonight, by the way. He's had a really tough start to his season. Played two games. I think this is his second or third game, but that's the bet. Brandon Ingram's 27 years old. You hope that, you know, there's a resurgence from him on that defensive end. You scale back the offensive responsibility, and hopefully, you know, he turns that defensive motor back up.
So the trade that I put together, and this is just contracts, just take for granted that the Lakers have to send over two picks for Brandon Ingram. I can't find a trade with Russell and Rui going out there that, you know, doesn't get super complicated beyond that. So as it stands, just in terms of contracts, it's D'Lo, Vando, JHS, and one of like their expirings. In this case, I put Christian Wood there. And like, here's how I'll put this to you. Not you specifically, Raj, but to those who are asking about this. If you think another team can top or equate that trade value, then you need to do better. And, you know, I don't know how much better the Lakers are going to be willing to do for Ingram.
Yeah, the part, I guess, I don't think any team's coughing two firsts for an expiring Brandon Ingram. I don't think that's coming. And also, yes, a lot of teams can beat the package, but I don't think a lot of teams want to pay Brandon Ingram.
We said that.
I think that's the point where it is. And I think if you get like Tice back or something like that, our guy Rome was talking about it. He's saying that if you add Tice, I believe you can make that work where like Rui and I think D'Lo go out, but it's tough. There's going to be some machinations that's going to have to be had. But if that's your core, like if they can agree on that, then like, I think there's a deal to be made, but the off court stuff, I just can't get there. Sending us Brandon Ingram, that's just a horrible look for a franchise that, Anthony, every time they beat us, still put the "that's all" folks on their final scoreboard like four years later. It's just there's no way.
Brandon Oming writes, BI for D'Lo, Rui, and a first. Max is starting to look great. Just need the three ball to start falling. Also, go Vikings, 10-2. Thoughts on Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones, like given the success that Kevin O'Connell has had with Sam Darnold this year and with the Pastronaut last year, and he's just a quarterback whisperer. So and that's why Daniel Jones went to the Vikings at all. So if they're put in a bind next year, or if like Darnold isn't, you know, gets hurt or something like that, watch Daniel Jones go out and play the best football of his career under Kevin O'Connell, because that's what quarterbacks do for Kevin O'Connell. It's so like we talked about this the other day. Did you talk about this with me? But like I you'll see this with the Dodgers where like they will buy low on guys off of the scrap heap and stuff like that, and they'll just know how to turn players around, and it's such a market inefficiency for them. And like Kevin O'Connell's ability to get the most out of quarterbacks might be one of the most valuable assets in the NFL. Now, you know, there are other questions about the Vikings and stuff like that, but 10-2, man, 10-2 for the Vikings is great. Let's see. Yeah, we talked about the BI. One last thing on Max. I know Dalton is, you know, it's going to be tough to not start him, and there's some question as to like whether or not starting Dalton like affects his rhythm and all that stuff. But we talked coming into the year about that position battle between Dalton and between Max that might go all year. Mm-hmm. Do you think the starting gig is just Dalton's from here on out, or do you think Max can push him?
I think if Dalton continues to average like 20 as a starter, he's going to stay a starter. Like he's not going anywhere. Obviously tonight it was a little bit rough. He missed a lot of, I thought, good looks for him. But I mean, JJ's shown that, hey, I'll take Dalton out of the starters, or I'll take anyone out of the starting lineup. But yeah, I think that's Dalton's for now. I just don't see him leaving that starting group. Now, can Max enter it, like maybe as in place of Rui? I think there's a world that, where that can happen. Anthony, I'm just this team. I'm watching this team, and our foot speed is so glaring, like on a nightly basis. Yeah. We give up corner threes and lobs, which are the most efficient shots in basketball besides like an open layup. We give that up consistently because we switch a lot, and then the guys we have switching are just so slow. And so like that's a issue I think that just continues to pop up, where Max really helps. He's quick. He's not the perfect defender, but he does try. He moves his feet. And he's an athlete that can get around. It's sad watching like Rui help, because he is trying, but like you watch him help and then he's like, oh shoot, I gotta go out to the corner again. And like, you know, he does that trot out to the corner and the ball's already through the net. It's like, I can't really blame Rui, but there's a foot speed issue there where I think Max can really help.
Doggy, trade Reeves or no championship? Disagree. Justin Tindall, are you sure Rob knew that he could use a third year and still decline the fourth year option? There's a lot of smiley faces and laughing emojis on the tail end of that message. So pretty sure it's joking, but I mean,
come on. It's not just Rob in there. There's other people also involved in this stuff. They know there's a third and fourth year option.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope.
Matthew writes, New Orleans has not fared well under David Griffin. He has to be under a ton of pressure with Ingram. He can't lose him for nothing. But we said all that, not all of that stuff about the Clippers and losing Paul George for nothing. This is the world that we are entering here with this new CBA, where teams are going to be willing to lose guys for nothing over not having to pay them max money. Like that's going to be a thing.
Also, like I'm not biggest David Griffin fan, but I did like that New Orleans roster, just healthy. Trey Murphy's a really nice. Herb Jones is a really nice piece. That's also out. You know, Alvarado's a nice bench player. That's also out. Like these aren't even their stars, but you know, these are bench guys that are out. Trey Murphy, I believe I mentioned Ingram, Zion. That's a really good West team if healthy. I don't know how I blame David Griffin for that, but you are blamed on judged on the results. And so I understand Pelicans fans feeling that way.
Yep.
Or I don't know if Matthew's a Pelican fan, but
Matthew continues. We all know the answer for this team is Miles Turner. He would solve a ton of problems. He shoots 40% from three and block shots, allows AD to play to defend the perimeter. AD doesn't want to play center. Yeah, but Miles Turner isn't available. So,
yep.
You know, if we could go back in time, you know. What's that song? If I could turn back time, like if we could, and go and make the Miles Turner Buddy Hield trade, I would happily do it. I said at the time that was the deal to make. But here we stand, and Buddy Hield is playing well for Golden State, and Miles Turner is the perfect player next to Anthony Davis, just like we all thought he would be. Doggy, would Malcolm and Marcus Smart be enough to win? Malcolm
Brogdon? Guessing. No? Brogdon, by the way, is on the Wizards and playing, which he looked very miserable on the floor doing that, but dude, that is what he's doing.
No win November. Like everybody does no shave November and no nut November, and they did a no win November. They sacrificed wins for the entirety of a month.
I don't know if people aren't watching the Wizards, and I'm sure they're not, but I was watching the Wizards game over the weekend, and I don't know, Jordan Poole plays like he's playing by himself. It's just him with next to no other teammates, but yeah, Malcolm and Marcus Smart's playing well. Another guy that was traded multiple firsts for, but I don't think that's enough to win the title. Is that what it's saying?
I don't know. You can't use all of your assets on two more small people.
Yeah.
You know, they're both like bigger than the guards that the Lakers currently have, but they're still guards. Like
very injury prone too.
Get me wings. Get me size, athleticism, foot speed. Like, just and Brogdon is not a foot speed guy. Smart, not really a foot speed guy. He's more of like a play physical, put you in the mud type of defender.
Right.
They need guards. They need a guard who can get by his guy without the use of a screen and wreak havoc on opposing defenders. Like they don't have that from their guards right now. Whether it's D'Lo, whether it's Austin, whether it's Dalton, Max, JHS, maybe Olivari, I don't know, but like, but he's on a two-way. So
yeah.
Like they need a guard who has an athleticism advantage over whoever is guarding him night in, night out. They just don't have that player.
Someone that can guard their position. Like, it's becoming like real concern. Again, tonight, Utah's not the team that can take advantage of that, but I tell people, go back and watch how many times Utah got a like straight line drive.
Yeah.
Consistently every time. It's just tough to build a defense that way. Any successful defense. Yeah.
All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. A reminder, please do hit that subscribe button here on YouTube. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge. If you guys are watching in the morning or listening in the morning via podcast, hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And tell your friends that you love the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. For tonight, I am Anthony Irwin. And that was Raj Palu. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, hopefully with a voice. One of these days, I'll have a voice again. Maybe. It depends. It's hard to tell. Have a good one, everybody.